Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know that God has called us, and I say this every week, and I will not stop until the day the Lord takes me out of here, that we are called to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. For in those three commands, all of the scriptures are summed up, and we submit ourselves to the Word of God to give life to ourselves, but also life to our hearers. Can I get an amen? Today, we are going to finish up on this sermon series, Idolatry versus Humility. I want to thank everyone who's been here to partake of this, and for those of you out there, I hope it's been a blessing to your soul. But today, we come to the end of it, because Jesus here has been talking for several days. This is a period of time that went on, and everything that is recorded here in the book of Mark is all about idolatry and humility. The idolatry of self and what I want and what I see, and whether we will humble ourselves and see God for who He is, and in that receive life. Because we want God on our terms. How many of us want God on His terms? Yeah, that's what I want. I want God on His terms, because then I am seeing Him as He is and seeing myself as who I'm not. And that's the whole point of what Jesus is trying to teach here. And we're going to end with that point coming out very well as we end this sermon. So today, turn in your Bibles with me, and we are going to pick up in Mark chapter 10, and we're going to be in verse 32. Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 32. I'll let you get there, because I've been starting like that these last several weeks. All right, I think we're all there. From the 32nd verse of the 10th chapter of the book of Mark, we read these words. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking on ahead of them. And they were amazed, and those who followed were fearful. And again, he took the 12 aside and began to tell them what was going to happen to him, saying, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit on him and scourge him and kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise again." James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant that we may sit on your right hand and one on your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. But to sit on my right or on my left, this is not mine to give, but is for those whom it has been prepared." Hearing this, the 10 began to feel indignant with James and John. Calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. As I look at these words, I can't help but feel how Jesus felt during this time. Again, he was talking about himself, and we all know that the Christ died, was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. And he's telling these men this, and he's letting them know this is what's coming. And what is the response? It's not a humbling. It is not a sense of dread or fear. It's one of, we want you to do something for us, and whatever we ask, we want you to give it to us. How many of us live our lives like that? I want it, and I want it now. It amazes me when I think about our world right now. We want what we want because we want it easy. How many of us have become creatures of comfort? How many of you love your air conditioning in the summertime? All I got to do is talk to Mitch. He'll tell me how many of you call him and complain that the air conditioner isn't running. Or the heat in the winter. Yeah, you're welcome. When we think about it, we all want comfort. I want you to think about the folks in North Carolina right now. They're not worried about comfort. They're worried about survival. We have forgotten this is life and death. Jesus just spoke to them, telling them that the Son of God was going to die, and all they were worried about was where they were going to sit when the kingdom came. I'm telling you, if that is not a human response, I don't know what is. And many of us, though, know, you know, and I'm not blaming what they're saying on any of you. Please don't hear that. But how many of us literally take that sense of attitude about our lives? What's in it for me? What's in it for me? Because isn't that really what they're asking? This is what's in, and this is what I want to be in it for me. I have no idea what's going to happen on the other side. I don't know what I'm going to get on the other side. I don't care. I just want to get there. That's what I want. I'm a screwed up individual. I can't get there by myself. I can't get to some of your home addresses without a GPS, for heaven's sakes. You and I need direction. We need to get things right because our sin nature so permeates each and every one of us that here we are. And Jesus says to the disciples, you know, are you able to drink of this cup? Are you able to go through what I'm going to go through? And they said, yes, we are. And what did Jesus respond to them? He said, yeah, you're right, you will. You will go through the same baptism. You will go through everything that I'm going through. Why did he say that to them? Because they were his disciples. How did they all die? There's only one of them that died of old age, but remember, he was boiled in oil and he survived it. I want you to think about that. We all know there's persecution coming to the church. We're seeing it now. We just heard it this morning. The Bible is considered what, Mitch? A form of protest. The Bible, the book of hope, the book of life, the book of glory, the book of peace with God, is hate speech. That's what they just said. Why is it hate speech? Because it points out sin and calls for repentance. But without repentance, there is no forgiveness of sin. The blood's already been shed. That's why we sang that song this morning. At the cross, love ran red. Because the blood's already been shed. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. But we know what Jesus said. If you walk in Him, all we need to do is repent and turn to Him, and we have salvation. And yet these men wanted something so much more. Rather than being satisfied with the covering and being able to get in because there's no way we can get in, they wanted the best position. Well, they are going to die some horrible lives. You and I are all going to die. I don't know what my end is going to be like, but I pray it's a good end. I pray it comes quickly, and I pray the Lord blesses me. But how many of us get the wishes that we ask for? You know, we get some of them, but we don't get all of them. I know Christians who have suffered for years before they died. I also know Christians who passed in the night just as a vapor. And praise God for them. And I also know that without Christ is to die forever. And I don't want that. Jesus says, though we die, if we are in Him, we will live forever. And that's what I want to see. That's what I want all of us to see. These men were so worried about what they were going to receive and what was going to happen. And Jesus said, if you want these things to happen, you need to become less, not more. They wanted to become more. And Jesus said, you need to become less. Because if you're going to be great, you're going to serve everybody. And if you want to be first, you're going to have to be a slave to everybody. It's not about being first in line. You know, I think it's funny when we have banquets and potluck dinners and that kind of stuff. How many of you ever take notice to where when pastor gets in line? Generally at the end. I want to make sure everyone else has had plenty before I go. Now, there are times that I'll get in the dessert line before anybody else. Okay? I'm telling my sins here now. But the truth of the matter is, we need to be last. You know, everybody wants to put pastor first. No. Folks, don't raise me up. I'm not a man to raise up. There's only one we raise up. We raise him up together. Okay? You're fortunate. You've got two pastors in your church. We have Pastor Dave back here. And I'll tell you right now, there are places I fall short that we need to be following him. Amen? And there are places where he falls short that he needs to be following Miss Amy. But I can say that about myself and Lynn. Because as we come into ministry, we come into ministry. Yes, I'm the one who's called, but God has called both of us because the two are. And it's a heavy calling. And Jesus says, the cup I drink, you shall drink. And you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. And I'm going to tell you all, that is your baptism also. As Christians, you're going to go through persecution here in this world. People are going to say bad things against you. People are going to do hurtful things towards you because they're jealous of where you are. They see the glory, they see the peace in your life, and they don't want you to have it because they don't. Rather than them coming to us, they try to pull us down to them. How many of you are seeing that's what's happening in the world today? Here Jesus is talking to the disciples about the glory that's about to come, that the salvation of mankind is going to come, that the Son of Man is going to be dead, buried. On the third day, He's going to raise again from the dead, which is the glory to us all. And the very first thing they wanted to know is where they were going to sit. They didn't ask, how can you use us? What can we do? The church needs to begin asking, how can you use us? What can we do? Because if we don't see Him for who He is, we will not be with Him. That's a truth. There will be those who will say to me on that great and fearful day, Lord, Lord, look what I did in your name. That's talking about people that are in the church, brothers and sisters. And I shall say to them, away from me, you evildoers, for I never knew you. That's harsh. But it's a reality. You know, folks come to church because they want to hear all the good stuff that I feel good leaving. How many of you feel good right now? The truth is the truth is the truth. Can I get an amen? And I fear those words myself, that I have done something so stupid, so grievous, that perhaps I won't get in. But do you know what? The Word tells me something. The Word tells me something. The Word tells me that if I believe in Jesus Christ, if I believe in His name, if I believe and I receive and I repent of my sins, there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? There is no depth, no height, no nothing in all of creation that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Don't let the evil one lie to you. Don't let the harshness of the word befall you, because the truth is the word is truth and it is hard. But when we follow Jesus Christ, He has made the path easy, for He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. And when we hold to that, there is nothing else we need. Can I get an amen, church? And right now, there's a whole lot of people in this world that need Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen, church? We just heard how 70,000 scriptures were tried to be given out in Philadelphia. They were only able to give out 28 plus thousand because the rest of them were neglected. They were turned down. I want you to think about that. That's more than half were not received. So how many people said no because of what we see our world going into? And God says, as we approach the day, I will increase their delusion. And we need to understand there's a delusion going on right now. And it is getting greater and darker all the time because it's God's will. We see the signs of the times all around us. But the question I have to ask is, are we willing to go into this baptism? Because as we get closer and closer to the day of the Lord, it's going to get darker and darker. And we need to realize God has told us that. God has told us some of us are going to go to jail. Some of us are going to be killed for the gospel's sake. But we will see righteousness. We will see the end. We will be baptized with the same baptism. We will undertake everything that Jesus undertook. Now, not to the extent that He did, because we don't have to bear anyone else's sin. But we will pick up our cross and follow Him daily. And it's going to be a hard thing. How many of you, being a Christian, is one of the easiest things you've ever done in your life? There's not one hand in the air in here. And I dare say there's probably not one in the air out there. Because it's the truth. It's one of the hardest things you're going to have to do, because you've got to deny self. And you've got to come along and love people that don't love you. How easy is it to love people that don't love you? Boy, it's easy to deal with people that love us and laugh and carry on with us. That's easy, isn't it? I can love the people that love me. Well, can you love the people that curse you? Can you love the people that spit on you? Can you love the people that are going to hang you on the cross? Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We need to remember, they know not what they do because they have been deluded. But we have to see Jesus for who He is. Because we are either going to see Him for who we want Him to be, we're going to look at Him as self, as we saw the apostles doing here, or we are going to be as blind men who have gained sight. What do I mean by that? Let's read on. From verse 46 to the end of our reading, we read these words. Then they came to Jericho, and as He was leaving Jericho with His disciples, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him here. So they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, stand up. He is calling for you. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, go, your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. Now, a couple of things I want us to note here before I go into it with any depth. How many of you remember just a few short weeks ago, we talked about a gentleman that the Lord Jesus touched his eyes, and then he had to do it a second time, and then he saw? What happened here? He didn't touch him. He didn't do anything. He just told him, your faith has made you well. And immediately the man could see. I'm going to tell you right now, he was seeing before he had his eyesight. How do I know that? Look at what he said. Everybody here, everybody in this group is following Jesus for what they could get from him. This gentleman heard it was Jesus. Now let's face it, he was blind, right? So he wasn't about to go roaming the area to try and find Jesus, but Jesus is there, and he hears Jesus the Nazarene is in the area, and he starts crying out because he hears he's passing by, and he says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. What was he just saying? Does anybody have any idea what he just said? Do you understand the term Son of David is a Hebrew way of saying Messiah? He was literally saying, Jesus, Messiah, have mercy on me. He saw him for who he was, not what he could do. That gentleman, as blind as a bat, couldn't find his way out of a paper bag, could see the Christ was standing in front of him, and all he wanted was the Christ. Have mercy on me. And Jesus then calls him. How many of us want to be called by God? How many of us want Him to call our name? How many of us want the Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, to realize this dust is alive and I have needs and I can't take care of it, but Lord God, You can. And we just give it up to have mercy on me. And then the conversation starts, and I love it, because then Jesus says to him, what do you want me to do for you? Oh, sit me at the right hand when I get to heaven, right? Isn't that what he just asked? No. He said, oh, that I could see again. Man, he could already see. And Jesus knew that. And he said to him the only thing he could say to him, your faith has already healed you, dude. And the physical was made right because the spiritual already was. Do we see Jesus for who he is, or do we see him for what we can get out of him? That's the difference between idolatry and humility. Right now in our world, I want you to think about this. The world, not just the United States, the world is looking into a presidential election. The world. I'm talking Russia, China, Iran, North Korea, India, Brazil. Every nation in the world is looking at an election. Who do you think the world wants to win that election? Who do you think the church should want to win that election? Now, I'm going to tell you all something right now, and this has been said by many a better pastor than myself. We need to remember one thing. We're not calling a pastor somebody that we want to be holy, which, by the way, I'm going to tell you, there are no holy pastors. There are forgiven pastors. Can I get an amen? But we are all sinners. So what kind of president do we want? Do we want a president who holds as close biblically as he can? I mean, how many of us hold to it altogether? Absolutely none of us. Yeah, I love your attitude, Miss Eva. No, we don't. But we call ourselves Christians, don't we? We need to understand God uses broken people. He uses imperfect people. He uses the foolish to confound the wise. I will say this. We have a choice to make, and the world's watching. Because one is going to bring back strength. The other is going to continue the same direction we are going. And how many of you want to march down this road for another 4 years? You need to think about where we are and what's coming. Many people are going to say, why is he talking about politics? Church doesn't have anything to do with politics. Would you read your Bible? Would you read your Bible? Jesus said more about politics than any of us want to admit. There is a separation of church and state. And that separation is that the state cannot make church. But guess who makes state? Church. Because we, the church, are supposed to be in the government, holding the government to the standards that God has given us, for God creates government. Get it right. And I'm not hollering at you. I'm hollering at everybody out there on the internet. Right? You know how Pastor is, and you do. And I thank God for your grace. Because there are many churches that would think I'm screaming at you. I ain't screaming at you. I'm screaming at the devil. I have people that say, why do you got to scream? Well, in my household growing up, the loudest person won. And may the loudest voice we hear be that whisper, that still small voice. Because it's not about volume. It's about submitting. Are we going to humble ourselves and see Jesus, Messiah? Or are we going to see self and try to get from him whatever we can and not worry about our souls or those around us? Brothers and sisters, this fight is not just for your soul, but our fight is for the souls of a world, a lost world. Why do you think the world is so in tune to what's happening in this nation? May we remember just how important we are. And I'm not thinking big-headed of ourselves. I'm not. We rose to this place because of the traditions, because of the Christian virtues and values that we held. And the nation said, we need you. The nations said, we need you. And the United States rose up. And we said, we'll keep everybody safe. Well, now we need to keep them safe from us. But that means we need to return back to who we were and hold to those values, because Jesus is Messiah. It's about who he is, not what we can get. It's about recognizing he is God and submitting and humbling ourselves to him. And then he will bring about the victory. Can I get an amen? Let us pray. Father God, each and every one of us are sinners. Each and every one of us has walked in idolatry because each and every one of us has looked about ourselves and what we can get out of something rather than what we can give and how we can help. But Lord, you came to show us that it is the giving up of self that we truly find the victory. So may each of us submit ourselves to you and then walk beside you and give just as you gave, loving as you have loved, and seeking hope as you sought hope, that all the world would believe. Lord, may your image be so implanted in us that when they look upon us, when the world looks upon us, that they don't see us, that they see you. And I know that means to invite persecution, but Lord, so be it, because to that we have given our lives, because we have given our lives to you. May your glory be seen in all that we are and all that we do. And may thy kingdom come, O Lord. I pray for our nation. I pray for the world. I pray for those folks down in North Carolina and Georgia and Tennessee and South Carolina and Florida being double hit. Lord, we ask that you would pour out through your church by the power of your people. And Lord, yes, that the government would respond in a proper manner. But Lord, we know that it's not going to happen unless the people themselves get busy and become the government. May we take back again the authority that you gave unto us, and may we hold high the banner, the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.